This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Just three county football finals have still to be decided nationally, and two of them are in the northwest. Erin Gaels and Enniskillen Gaels lock horns again this Saturday in Brewster. And it's Killeara Strandhill against St. Meloche Gaels, take two in Sligo on Sunday. Reflections to come on last Sunday's dramatic draw. These are heady days too for Sligo women's Gaelic football, All-Ireland Minor B football champions. And Killeara Strandhill have just won the Connacht Junior Club title. Drumcliff Ross's Point aim to add the provincial intermediate title this weekend, while Eoin Rua look for a seat at the senior provincial table in Westport this Sunday. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. If you want to get in touch at any stage, the numbers are the same by WhatsApp or text. 083 3500 530 will get us all right. The email address, sport@oceanfm.ie, and we're on Twitter or X or whatever you prefer to call it. At Ocean FM Sport is the Twitter handle to look for. But first this evening, the funeral for former Leitrim and Sligo Gaelic football manager PJ Carroll is going to take place tomorrow in his native Cavan. Carroll, who managed Leitrim from 1989 to 1992, led them to an All-Ireland B Championship success, as well as a Connacht Under-21 title. He passed away on Wednesday, surrounded by his family in Cavan General Hospital. He was also the Sligo Bannister, taking up that job in early 1995. And we're going to start the programme by taking you back to the 8th of January in 1995. This was on the old Northwest Radio, and one of our early interviews with the then Sligo manager PJ Carroll as he prepared to get Sligo ready for the all brand new Connacht FBD League campaign.
Yeah, it's quite, you know, we've carried on from the Christmas break, you know. This morning we had 22 players out training there this morning, so, you know, there's great apples in the camp and the players are putting in the effort, and, you know, I can't ask any more. The only thing is, you'd question after the second half of this break, you know, how to see how things will go. And we haven't an easy one in the first match against Galway. Galway will more than likely have the full team out next Saturday, trying to keep that just on account of the championship itself. But we'll have a fairly strong team out, and our fellas are going over, not just to make up the numbers, going over to have put on a performance and hopefully kick the points.
How will you be treating this new Connacht League, PJ? Do you see that it can be of good benefit to Sligo?
Well, it can personally for me, because I'll be using it to try out a few players without making wholesale changes in the team. I keep the balance fairly well, but I'll try out players that will be on the fringe over before Christmas and just give them a run to see how to go with basically strong team. As for the league itself, we'll be treating every match, trying to do our best in every match, but basically at the present time our main priority is to get out of that fourth division. You know, and we have a few tough matches after Christmas. That'll be our number one priority. But we'll be treating the FBD league with respect, as the fellow says.
Can I ask you, in relation to the progress and the preparations you've been making over the Christmas, you must be quite happy with the commitment shown by the Sligo panel.
Yes, they've got all the good habits now. You know, the boys themselves wanted to train over Christmas, you know, and that's a good sign. And we have a few players that have been out that weren't available just before Christmas and are now back in the panel. And, you know, it was great there to sit today. We played a full match, a full-scale match, 2-15 asides there today. And, you know, it was really hammer and tongue stuff for an hour and maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And the boys are really gearing themselves up. I think that they're starting to get a wee bit of belief in themselves, and that's the most important thing. And, you know, they have all the right habits now. I hope we can continue on the field.
Have you noticed changes already in the time that you've taken over?
Oh yes, very much so. The fitness level is way much higher now, and you know, the boys now are starting to believe themselves. They're not worrying what the opposition is, they're just more worrying about their own game and getting their game together. And there's a bit of pride coming back into Sligo football at the present time. So we've been hoping to do quite well in the next couple of months without shouting our case all over the country.
From early 1995, the late PJ Carroll, then Sligo manager and Leitrim manager before that, speaking to us on the old Northwest Radio. He was hoping to get Sligo promoted from Division 4 that season. He got Sligo promoted from Division 4 that season. They finished second behind Monaghan in Division 4 and went up to Division 3. Subsequently, PJ Carroll would win three senior club championship titles in three different counties, including Ahavas in Leitrim in 2000, as well as senior championship successes in counties Monaghan and Meath. Well, let's have a word with two former county footballers who would have worked with and under PJ Carl at different stages in their career. Mickey Quinn of Aughawillan needs little introduction. He was captain of that Leitrim team who beat Sligo emphatically in the 1990 All-Ireland B Championship final under then Leitrim boss PJ Carl, and Brendan Kilcoyne, who captained Sligo with distinction during the mid-1990s as well. They join us this evening. Mickey, having won an All-Ireland title under PJ Carl, what are your memories of the man this evening?
Yeah, well, good evening, Austin. Yeah, PJ came into Leitrim in October of 89, and Leitrim football was not going well at the time. I think Sligo beat us that year in the championship and beat us well. And I remember his first meeting with us in Baltimore. Ollie Honeyman and myself was talking about it this evening outside PJ's home. And he was there on the field long before training started. And we had about maybe 20 players out, and we weren't going well at the time, but we were to play Westmeath in a league match. And he says, if you can go to Westmeath and beat Westmeath, he says, I'll come in and stay with you for whatever it takes to win. And that was our first meeting with PJ. So we went up and we beat Westmeath, and whatever happened after that all seemed to work out fairly well for PJ after that, because we went 14 games by only losing one game out of 14 after that.
And would Leitrim people have known PJ by reputation before he came into the county, Mickey? Can you remember?
Not really. He would have played with Cavan Gales, and I'm sure he played with Cavan County football team as well, but he wouldn't have been well known. I think it was Tony McGowan that got in contact with PJ and brought him in, and that was our first meeting with him in Baltimore of that autumn of 89.
How would you describe his managerial style?
He was very enthusiastic. He was a fitness fanatic, and he had fierce enthusiasm for the game and a fierce will to win. And I remember us going up to play Kildare when Mick O'Dwyer took over Kildare, and we never had a doubt about in our minds that we were could beat Kildare, and that we done. And even big games again, Mayo, and that we could take on Mayo at that time, or teams like Mayo, and beat them. And I would put it down to PJ what he instilled into the players, that winning belief that wasn't in Leitrim at the time.
I had forgotten about the scoreline in that 1990 All-Ireland B Championship final. Maybe as a Sligo man, I'm trying to block it out from memory. Leitrim 2-11, Sligo 2 points.
That's right. And it was only 12 months before that Sligo beat Leitrim in the Championship. So that's the impact that PJ had on the team and on the county. Like, and he got everybody out behind the team. He created a great atmosphere among the players and among the supporters.
And then the following year, 1991, he takes charge of the under-21s as well and leads them to a county title.
That's right. He beat all the strong teams in Leitrim or in Connacht that year. Leitrim beat Galway, Mayo and I think Roscommon that year. And it was a massive achievement for him to win a Connacht under-21 title, which hadn't been done in over 30 years.
And so, Mickey, like, mindful that John O'Mahony would come to Leitrim a couple of seasons later, and we all know magically what happened then in 1994, and the late John O'Mahony, who also passed away this year, of course, is so fondly remembered in Leitrim for that Connacht Senior Championship success. But would it be fair to give a portion of the building block credit, so to speak, to PJ Carroll for the work he did at senior and underage level in the years leading up to that?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I don't think we would have got John O'Mahony into Leitrim only for the groundwork that PJ had done. And I think Leitrim people couldn't thank both men what they have done for the county in football. I think they'll be remembered in Leitrim for a long, long time for what they've done for Leitrim football.
Mickey, stay with us for a couple of moments, if you would, because I want to bring in former Sligo captain Brendan Kilcoyne, who joins us from Letterkenny. Brendan, I'm trying to remember, had you broken through to the senior squad by 1990, or am I bringing up a bad memory by mentioning that All-Ireland B final to you?
Good evening, Austin, and good evening, Mickey. Yeah, I didn't remember the scoreline. I knew that we took a big beating on that day. I think it was played in the Hyde, Mickey, if I'm right in saying that. But later were far too good for us and far too strong for us. We had a bad day, and I suppose it was just one of them days when the tide turns against you, everything goes against you, and it was a sobering experience, I suppose, for us that time. But I suppose, Austin, you have to remember, you know, Sligo weren't really going great at them times. I know Mickey alluded to the fact that we'd beaten Leitrim from the year before in the championship, but your reference there in your introduction that, you know, we were playing in Division 4 at the time and things were at a low ebb when PJ came in then around 94, 95. And he certainly, like Mickey referenced it also, like just the energy he brought every time, be it a training session, a game, the energy and the enthusiasm of infectious. And, you know, I think it rubbed off on a lot of the players too, so it did. And it was certainly a time I remember. And another thing I recall, Austin, you know, he was a character, so he was. There was a bit of crack in him, so, and, you know, there was always a bit of fun with him. You trained awful hard, like he was a fitness freak, and he had his good mate with him, good friend with him, Tony Dunn, too, during them times of his involvement with Sligo. And, you know, the fitness levels really, really went up a few notches at that time, so they did.
Is it fair to say, gents, he was kind of old school? You know, he had a certain way of doing things and maybe not every personality gelled with him as a manager.
Oh, for sure, Austin. If a game was going against him and if he thought the players weren't putting it in, he would throw the coat off on the line and he would go do a full circle of the field. And anybody that wasn't putting it in, he would let them know it under no circumstances. He would really lay it into them what had to be done.
And Brendan, as you say, Sligo were at a lowish ebb at that stage when PJ Carroll came in. I think he won promotion with Sligo in 95. So on paper, at least, it looks like he got something going in the 8th County.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, he did, Austin. You know, I suppose we were getting the influx of a lot of good young players around that time. You know, the likes of Paul Taylor, Eamon O'Hara, Desi Sloy, Noah Maguire were beginning to join the squad at that time. And they would go on and play for a long time for Sligo thereafter and very successfully too, winning the Connacht Championship in 2007. And there's no doubt about it that the foundations were laid at that time. So it was a new approach. I think it was the first time Sligo had an outside manager coming in, which was a new thing too. It wasn't too common. It definitely wasn't common in Sligo. And, you know, he brought in new ideas, great energy, and, you know, it made us realise, and Mickey was mentioned there, like, you know, he was very animated on the sideline. If things weren't going your way or things weren't going his way, he'd soon let you know. So the fact that he was coming in as an outside manager too, I think, you know, reputations went out the door. You basically had to prove yourself from scratch again. So you had, and he was old school. But, you know, you can't have, he definitely, I think, improved Sligo's fortunes around that particular time, Austin.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, 1995, I think Sligo drew with Galway in the championship that year, might have won it. I think that game went to a replay, if memory serves me.
That's correct, Austin, yeah, that's correct. So it is, yeah.
So the margins were tight, you know, had that gone Sligo's way, who knows what might have happened that particular summer.
Indeed, and you know, as I said, we were beginning to get this influx of young players, and I think we got to a Connacht final. We were narrowly beaten by a Mayo team that were narrowly beaten in an All-Ireland final in 97, and you know, I think PJ, a lot of that kind of change in attitude can be attributed to PJ's influence and the time he had with us for them couple of years.
And Mickey, as well as his inter-county exploits, and he did manage his native Cavan before he came to Leitrim and managed Cavan under-21 and minor teams as well. On the club front, he's one of a small band of players to win 3 senior club championship titles in 3 different counties, with Castleblenny with Monaghan. He won one in Meath as well, and with Ahavas in Leitrim in 2000. Was that a big deal at the time?
It was a massive achievement for him because Ahavas hadn't won a senior championship in a long time, and for to go to Ahavas and win it in his first year with them, it was a massive achievement for them. He won it against all the odds with them, but he did get them into great shape and they were really, really fit for that final. And in fairness to him, they would not have won a county final without PJ, I'm sure.
Well, indeed. Well, I'm sure he will be remembered across the region. Mickey Quinn of Leitrim and Brendan Kilcoyne of Sligo, thank you very much for sharing some of your PJ Carroll memories on the programme with us this evening.
Thank you, Austin. And good luck to you, Brendan.
Thank you very much, guys. And a reminder that PJ's funeral service takes place tomorrow, Friday, in Cavan, and you can view the service live from 2 p.m. on cavantownparish.com. Well, that was a trip down memory lane, remembering the late great PJ Carl of Leitrim, Sligo, and of course his native Cavan. As for the 2024 Gaelic football season, it's still far from finished.
If they move it quickly, they have a chance. McHugh goes left.
30 seconds left.
It's over to Mark Hurley. Left foot solo. This is it for Milosha Gales. Maybe it has draw written all over. Is there a winner? Ger Brady, he's about 50 metres from goal. Calera are filtering men back. Rather than trying to force a winner, they're trying not to lose it now at this stage, just to contain it. Luke Castley is on the midway mark. He goes over to the far side. Robbie Ryan.
Michael Duffy has the whistle in his mouth. They need to get up for a shot here.
We've got 20 seconds left of the three. He's looking at the watch. I think he's going to blow it here.
10 seconds.
Yeah, I need to get a shot away. He's looked at the watch two or three times now. Is there a shot? Joe Keeney. Oh, there's a foul. Oh, he's given it. This is a big chance. He's given it. It's 40 metres from goal. Michael Duffy gestured towards the head as if Keelan Cawley hit Joe Keeney in the head as he was falling there. Maybe that was cuteness from Joe Keeney. Maybe that was the conditions that made Keeney fall.
This is the last kick of the game. We've seen it last night in Tuala Stran when Huey Marin had it for Clonacool. This is a big one.
This is history from Milosha Gaels. If Alan McLaughlin, their scorer in chief, before today, 129 to his name, he's added a further four converted frees. He has never kicked a bigger free. He's gone short to Joe Keeney, right foot. Oh, he blew it up.
What did he do?
He blew it up before he shot it. Michael Duffy blew it up before the ball sailed over.
The ball went over the bar.
Players are all over Michael Duffy. Literally, Alan McLaughlin went short. Joe Keeney shot before Joe Keeney. As he shot the ball, he blew the whistle.
This happened in the media championship with Innes Grohan this year. Paul Clavin told the Innes Grohan player that it was the last kick of the game. And then he took it short, and then he was going to kick the ball over the bar. And as soon as he took it short, he blew it up. But, like, why did Alan not go for it?
I don't know. Like, and Joe Keeney did nail it, but like, there's controversy here at the very, very end. As soon as Joe Keeney kicked the ball, you heard the whistle before it actually sailed over the bar. All the Milosha Gaels, four or five of them, flooded around the referee. And Owen McHugh is still there around the referee. They need to be careful, considering that there's a replay coming.
There's a replay here, yeah.
But there's players all over each other. There's management all over the opposition players. There's pushing, there's shoving on Barry O'Mahony. And Cathal Héireann are testing each other's jerseys. Leo Doherty's involved.
Like, why is this madness? Why are they getting involved? Like, you know, they still have another day out.
Jamie McLaughlin has been pulled away as well by his teammate Luke Cassidy.
You can see Alan gone up talking to Michael Duffy up here as well. We knew it here in the press box. It was the last kick of the game. You know, why did he go short?
But like in the referees, we obviously don't know what was said, but surely the words were said, "You have to go direct here."
Yeah.
Or we're not sure what happened, but there's anger in the Milosha Gaels camp for certain, and
he did kick it over, I think.
He did. It looked like it sailed over from the roars from the stand. It sounded like it was going over, and then straight away from joy to anger and disgust at what the decision was. But either way, let's take a breath. 9 points, Calera Strandhill. St. Milosha Gaels 1-6. It was level at half time, 5 points apiece. It's level at full time, and we are going to that replay.
That's how Colin McGee and Willie Gormley described the conclusion to last Sunday's drawn Homeland Sligo Senior Football Championship final at Markovich Park. The holders, Calera Strandhill, 9 points. St. Milosha Gaels, 1-6. They'll meet again this Sunday in Markovich at 1:30. In a moment, we're going to hear from Milosha's goal scorer last Sunday, Jack Davitt. But first, the considered thoughts post-match after the drawn game when the dust had settled from the Milosha manager, Jimmy Langan, who spoke to Mark Irwin.
When you look at the scoreboard there, 1-6-9, like, we got a brilliant goal there from Jacko, but 1 point really in the second half, you know, it's not going to, and he didn't win his championship for us this evening, you know, and look, we have no problem at the end there. The engine is what it is, you know. Michael did a great job of refereeing the game, you know, and we've absolutely no problem. We're just delighted. This time last year, Calera were celebrating, we were gone home with our heads down, we're still all to play for, and we'll take that.
Absolutely. I suppose you mentioned the scoreboard there in the low scoring game. It was probably never going to be a day where the scores were going to be high, but still the quality on display for both teams, attacking and defensively, was second to none, and that comes down to work rate and this was the strength and conditioning of both sides, including the St. Milosha Gaels, is at a level that it probably has never been before for both teams. Is that something that you've worked on all year?
Oh, there's no question. Like, and I know I speak on my own behalf here. I said it was last year, like, Tuala Stran's dominance was over. So, like, you have five or six clubs in Sligo thinking they can win a championship. So, like, we've trained hard. We trained hard last year. We got beaten in the final. We've trained every bit of it. We definitely have trained harder this year, and the condition and the fitness of both sides there, like even our standing out on the pitch, like that was tough. Like we had lads there at the end, like Colera as well, those lads out on their feet, that was tough conditions. But definitely, like Sligo football is definitely, club football is really on the rise, you know, coming from good underage, good county team there, county players playing, but definitely fitness and strength and conditioning has massively improved with most clubs in senior level.
And you mentioned, you touched on it there, Jack Davids' goal, but that was definitely the move of the game. It was some excellent hand or fielding by the St. Milosh Gales players, Gerard Brady finding Jack David off the shoulder, as he probably has done all year, and Jack buried the ball to the net. Once that goal hit the back of the net, did you think this was your year?
Really, when I went in, just for the first time in the game, like I think we were two down there the first half. It gave us a cushion of 3 points, you know, but like it was never going to win the game, you know. And I just, on Jack David's behalf, you know, Jack had lost his granny there a few months ago. Very sad, a lovely lady. And look, nothing can be greater pleasure to see Jack pick up the OMB cup, but just for Jack to get the goal. Jack's a very talented footballer, and we're just delighted to have him in the squad.
I'm just going to catch up with Jack David, the goal scorer for St. Milosh Gales in the immediate aftermath of the county final. Jack, I suppose it's hard to sum up in words how you're feeling. I can just see both teams going off. St. Milosh Gales definitely seem to be the more dejected. Is that because you feel like you may have left it behind you, or like, you mean it was a massive battle out there, Jack, in difficult circumstances?
We left chances behind us, to be fair. Overall, I felt like we were the deserving team. A few calls that we weren't happy about, obviously, the one at the end that Joe put over. But we did leave chances behind us, and we'll have to learn from that.
I suppose the fact that you lost the county final to the same opposition last year, you came in here with a game plan, it really worked. Your pace, your direct running off the ball, it resulted in a great goal for yourself as well. Personally, your display was fantastic. But again, you have to do it all again next week. How did you sum up your own personal performance on a day like this, Jack?
I didn't really care about scoring, whatever, to be honest. I just wanted us to win. I just put the head down, worked my hardest, and just wanted to do it for the team, to be honest.
He certainly did that. St. Milosh Gales, Jack David, and before that, his team manager, Jimmy Langan. What about the champions then? Relief, perhaps, at the final whistle that last-ditch point from Joe Keeney didn't count. Here is Calera Strandhill's Sean Taylor speaking to Mark after the final whistle.
The big thing for me, probably it was a massive battle. I think the two teams, like obviously we met this time last year and we've met a couple of times since. We've done our homework on each other and it kind of proved today. It kind of came to, you know, a very good goal at the start of the second half. They kind of given their tails up and, you know, we were chasing it for 5 or 6 minutes and eventually then we got back into our rhythm and got a couple of scores at the very end there, which was good comms between our forwards and backs and getting on loops and stuff. I suppose, like, it was unfortunate the way the game finished there at the end. Milosh could have had it, but they didn't. So we kind of lived to breathe another day, but I suppose both clubs will go back now and look at the game, analyse it and get back to each other now and just get ready for the final again.
Conditions probably didn't help the game, but such was the talent on display for both teams. Massive crowd in attendance, a really, really good atmosphere. I suppose for the neutral, it's great to have another day out. I'm not sure how it would be for players playing on the teams, but it's great, I suppose, for Sligo football that we're going to have to do all this again next weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think for a neutral, I think they were all excited there. You could hear the crowd, every tackle, every breaking ball, every score, every kick out that was won, you know, the crowd were going good. So, look, it's going to be a good spectacle next weekend. Hopefully the weather's not as bad. It definitely was a defender's dream today and definitely not a forward's, but there was some excellent shooting there from both teams. So give credit to both sides for that.
Calera Strandhill's Sean Taylor speaking to Mark Irwin. The final replay of the Homeland Sligo Senior Football Championship rematch is Sunday, 1:30, Markovic Park in Sligo. If you can't get to the game, it's live here in full on Ocean FM, courtesy of Kilcoyle Construction, and it's also been live streamed by Sligo GAA TV. When we come back, the rise and rise of women's Gaelic football in Sligo continues apace and on several fronts. That's next.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan. Ocean.
Well, two more Sligo LGFA football clubs are involved in the business end of their respective provincial championships this weekend. We'll get to the prospects of Ón Rua in senior and Drumcliff Russell's Point at intermediate shortly. But of course, last Sunday, a little piece of history made for Culleara Strandhill as they lifted a first ever Connacht LGFA junior club football title in Swinford with a highly impressive 3-14-1-7 victory over Galway junior champions St. Fersey's. We brought you the game live last Sunday. We didn't get a chance to let you hear the presentation on FM after the final whistle. So let's put that right now, beginning with the player of the match accolade.
Ladies and gentlemen, the player of the match for the IB College of the final, Anna McDaniel. It gives me great honour to present the West Big of Glenamaddy Limited Cup to the AIB Junior Club Champions captain, Edwina O'Malley.
It's a huge honour to accept this cup on behalf of the wonderful team of 31 girls that lined out today in the Killeara Strandhill colours. It's absolutely amazing to lead you, but you're the leaders on the pitch and I am inspired by all of you all the time. So well done to everyone on our team. I know Keith already complimented the Headford girls on a great game, so just another bill of bust on Fern. Thanks as well to the ref and everyone that facilitated the game today, including the Connacht Council. It was really important that we had Ruth here today and that we were able to celebrate with her yesterday. So congrats to Mrs. Rooney.
Well, Mrs. Rooney is, of course, Ruth Goodwin, who's been a stalwart at club and county level in women's Gaelic football in Sligo for many years. She got married the day before the final last Saturday and then played a sterling role in their Connacht final success the following afternoon. And she got married to a member of the Culleara Strandhill senior men's panel, Hugh Rooney, who was part of the senior men's drawn final last Sunday at Markovic Park. We'll hear from Culleara Strandhill's management team member, Pat Currigan, in a moment. But first, from the new Mrs. Rooney after last Sunday's Connacht Championship success.
Fantastic, absolutely amazing. They're a great bunch of girls. It's been up and coming. I think we set up a team in 2005 for 1 year, and then we didn't have a team and we set one up 7 years ago, and the club hasn't been going strong ever since. So it's great to see.
Great to see you capped off today with a win in a Connacht final.
Stop. Married yesterday, Connacht final this morning, hopefully county final now in the evening. Amazing weekend.
Yeah, certainly been a busy weekend for you.
Yes, it's fantastic. Can't complain though, great complaints.
Far cry from the church bells here in the rain in Swinford this afternoon.
The ref said he never married a couple that will be going their separate ways the next day, so a good laugh now, to be fair.
And is the honeymoon on hold now?
The honeymoon's Paris! Here we come!
Unbelievable, can't believe it. Came up here believing that we had a chance, but to get an emphatic victory like that is, can't believe it. Fantastic. Fantastic bunch of girls. Well deserved it on the day, and I think they're just unbelievable.
For large stages of that game, Pat, I'm sure the Headford crowd won't thank you for this, but there was only one team in it.
Yeah, we were strong from nearly start to finish. Like, you know, a bit shaky for the first 5 minutes, but when we got our first score or two on the board, we kind of settled down on that, and I think we pushed on from there. Like,
you so. Certainly did. It certainly seemed like St. Fersey's were shell shocked after you got a goal and a point quick after they got three unanswered scores, and you just built it from there, really.
Yeah, true. They got 3 points up, and then we settled with a point, and then Anna McDonald got a great goal first, then it settled down, and we kicked on. Then Orna got a great goal in the second half. So I think going in at half time was happy enough to be 2-7 to 1-3, I think, or whatever it was at half time or whatever, you know. So yeah, it's good. Yeah.
What were you expecting from the St. Fersey side? Obviously, you said there was going to be, you were expecting a tough game, but Clare's not just dominated the game really from start to finish today.
I was expecting them to be very strong and dominant in the forwards. The midfield was good as well. Like, you know, I just think our backs and our forwards were very good. They held them tight. Our game is really very good in defence, like, to hold them out, block them out, to stop them from scoring goals is the big thing today. Like, you know, so I think we've done a good job in that. Like, you know,
fantastic team performances, but a couple of individuals really stand out. We're looking over there at Anna McDaniel with the Player of the Match trophy in her hand. Two goals for Orna Murphy as well. Some fantastic performances out there today.
Brilliant performances out there today. Anna, unbelievable, never stops, always gives 100%. Orna the same, and Sarah's sister. But again, I can't pinpoint anybody. You have to name her, the full 15, 16, 17, 18 players that came on today, and even the 31 on the panel. Like, everyone played their part for the whole championship, so it's a team performance today.
Pat Currigan, joint manager of the Killeara Strandhill Senior Women's Gaelic Footballers, along with Vinnie Hart and Jerry Kilfeather, speaking to Donal Ryan after their Connacht final success in Swinford last Sunday. We heard from Edwina O'Malley, who's actually joint captain of this Killeara Strandhill team. Just one captain was able to lift the cup in Swinford last Sunday, but both the captains, Edwina and goalkeeper Bevan Hart, joined Ocean FM Sport in the press box in Markovic Park during last Sunday's senior men's final.
I think it's still setting in, to be honest, you know, like, and we had our eyes on the game here today. Now Bevan's brother is playing, my husband's playing, so there's a lot of excitement and still a bit of nerves here as well.
Absolutely. I'm going to get you to hold that microphone like it's a Mammy Johnson's ice cream in
right.
Strandhill, okay?
I know how to do that.
And the same for Bevy when she talks in a moment. Yes, we should point out that Ross O'Carroll is your other half, so
yeah.
You're a bit like Ruth Goodwin today. You've got a vested interest in both finals.
Yeah, well, Ruth had a little bit more at stake now over this weekend, but it was wonderful to be able to celebrate her wedding yesterday to Hugh, who's also on the panel today. And we've done half the job so far.
What a wedding present to give your teammate. Where did that Killeara Strandhill performance come from today?
Oh, stop. I always knew that they had it in them. All the girls just work so, so hard. And we actually had the benefit of the breeze this morning in the first half, so that really set us up. We took our nice scores in the first half and then pushed on, worked hard in that second half, and we managed to do it.
And Bevy, let's bring you in as well. We'll give you the mic as well. You have siblings in action here out on the pitch at the moment, do you?
Yes, so I have Oren and Keenan Hart then on the field at the moment. So, yeah, it's very, like, we're trying to celebrate, but we're all very nervous now watching the match, so we can't celebrate too hard yet, you know.
Okay, well, let's champion the goalkeepers, because Keenan's in goals for the men. What was it like from your vantage point on the pitch today?
Oh, it's very good. So, like, from watching Keelan, you learn so much. And, even my dad also, he was a goalkeeper back in the day. So I learned so much from him, and he helps me at training and all that. So
I know your teammates were doing their magic up front, but it is a 15-person game.
Oh,
and there were key moments in the second half. First, he's got a goal, and they had a couple of chances to add to that, but you stopped them.
Well, there was one in particular, but my, like, all the backs, the defenders, they're amazing, and there were so many chances that St. Fergie's came in and they nearly got a goal, but the defence was amazing, so I didn't have to do much, thank God.
What is the secret ingredient to this Killeara Strandhill team? Because we have the experience, I won't say old players, experienced players like Edwina O'Malley and Ruth Goodwin, who have been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. But then there's this young, exciting crop of players, yourself, the Anna McDaniels, the Orna Murphys, coming through and setting the place alight.
Like Edwina and Ruth, they have so much experience, and like even at trainings and matches, like they're such team leaders, and like they just drive all the younger players. I say I'm kind of counted as one of the older players now at the moment because we have such a young team, but like they're just amazing at driving everyone forward, and that's how we won today, just all that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, Edwina, I know, I won't call you a blow-in, but you know what I mean? I mean, this has been bubbling in Sligo women's Gaelic football. You know, between the minor sides and under-16 teams who've reached All-Ireland finals, and the minor side winning an All-Ireland B title this year, and the St. Nathies and other clubs have been... We shouldn't be that surprised that this is starting to happen at our provincial level,
it's
should we?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Like, all those young girls, they're so talented, but they also work so hard on the pitch for each other. And we've a wonderful, like, group of players that are around the same age that are just driving on. And if we can keep them involved in football, that's the main thing. That's what our main goal will be now for next year, the year after, and build on that.
Yeah. I know that Ruth Goodwin has her honeymoon in Paris. You guys could be going to Paris, or maybe it's London, for the All-Ireland quarterfinal, because the Connacht champions have to travel for the All-Ireland junior quarterfinal.
I think it's confirmed now that it's the European champions that won, so we're going to go to Paris, I think.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, we wait for instructions on that.
Yeah, so Ruth Gullum doesn't know yet that she might have company for her honeymoon.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll get her own room, sure.
Okay. A football team going on honeymoon. That could be a unique trip to France in the coming weeks. That's Edwina O'Malley and Bevan Hart, joint captains of Killeara Strandhill after their Connacht Championship success last Sunday. And the Connacht hopes for Sligo teams don't end there. This Sunday, Drumcliff Ross's Point will contest their second Connacht Club Championship final in three seasons. They reached a junior decider 2 years ago, lost to eventual All-Ireland winner Salthill Knocktacara. This Sunday, they're getting ready to take on another Galway side, Annadown, in Swinford at 12:30. And their place in the intermediate Connacht final comes after last Sunday's dramatic semi-final win over Castlebar Mitchells in Castlebar. 3-3-1-7 it finished. Tommy Oates is joint manager of Drumcliff Ross's Point alongside Barry O'Sullivan.
That game had everything, so it had, like, you know what I mean, right from beginning to end. I think both teams were at it full on. The conditions were atrocious for playing football, and they didn't get any better as the game went on, but I think it, like, you know what I mean, that was a real dogfight right to the end.
Obviously, Drumcliff were against the wind of the first half, and in the first 10 minutes Castlebar scored 1-2 with no reply. Were you worried at that stage, or how are you feeling?
Well, we said if we won the toss that we would actually play into the elements in the first half, because we felt that, you know, we had the players to carry the ball, we had the players that could hold them up and maybe keep the distance between us and them fairly narrow until half time, and then we see where we were at that stage.
You trailed by 4 at half time. What were you saying to the girls? Like, what were you saying to them to get them back on that pitch and to get that result you got?
Well, I suppose it was just a matter of roll up the sleeves, because, you know, the conditions were deteriorating, they were getting worse, the water on the pitch was becoming, you know, it was really getting waterlogged to the stage where it became a lottery. It became a lottery. But I felt that we had the players to dig deep. And, you know, I always believe in this group of players. And if we're in a game with 10 minutes to go, then we have a fighting chance.
With 15 minutes left, you had Kate Smith, Jasmine O'Leary, Kane Maguire all off the bench. Was that the difference for you today, the subs? The subs were the difference?
Look, what we've always been talking about is the panel. Like, the 15 that goes out on the pitch, we ask them every day they go out, leave everything on the pitch. That's what we're asking for you. If you run out of steam with 15, 20 minutes to go, we'll take you off. We'll switch you. But the three girls came in today, as you've seen yourself, all made a contribution, and that's exactly what the panel is about. It's not just about 15, it's about 18, 19, 20, wherever you have to go to get a result like we got today.
You're obviously trailing by 2 in the dying minutes. Up steps Keita Scanlon for that penalty. What did you think? Did you know she was going to score?
Look, I'd have faith in Keita any time taking a penalty, because she has done it for us before. When the pressure is on, that's when your big players step forward. That's when you need players like Keita who will get on the ball, put it down and stick it in the corner of the net. That's exactly what we wanted.
Tommy, for the neutral today, going into this game, you're going up against Castlebar Mitchell's team that walked the Mayo Championship. They got to an All-Ireland Intermediate Final 2.5 years ago. What gave you a chance going into this game? How did you manage to beat them?
Well, it's self-belief in ourselves. Like, we all say, like, in the group, like, you know, we respect the opposition and we'll do everything we can to make sure that we cover all their danger areas. But then we return to the fact that it's all about ourselves. It's what we bring to the game. It's what we believe in our own system. And we believe that if we stick to our own system, results like today do come about. Yeah, they're a superb team. There's no point in saying that. Yeah, you don't go to Castlebar any day. Even if you were playing them at home, you wouldn't get an easy game against them. But to go into their backyard and pull off a result like that today, like, that's epic.
A Connacht final awaits you next weekend against Annadown of Galway. How are you feeling going into that game, Tommy?
Well, to be honest with you, like, the thing about it is obviously now we need to recover straight away. There isn't much time for turnaround. But we just get back to training on Tuesday night. We get the group together. There's not an awful lot you can do. Recovery, topping up. Just, there's always something to analyse. There's always something you can do better for the next day. And we'll be ready to rock next weekend.
Yeah, joint manager of Drumcliff Ross's Point, Tommy Oates, speaking to reporter Kieran Casserly there. The Connacht LGFA Intermediate Club Final is on Sunday at 12:30 in Swinford. Drumcliff Ross's Point of Sligo against Galway's Annadown. And it's going to be live in full on oceanfm.ie from 12:30. It's also being streamed live by Connacht LGFA. The same day, Eoin Rua, the new Sligo Connacht Gold Senior Women's County Champions, will take on Westport in Mayo in their Connacht Senior Senior Club semi-final. That has a 1 o'clock throw-in. We'll bring you updates on that when we come on the air from 1:30 with Ocean FM Sport this Sunday. And the day before, Glencarmanor Hamilton, the Leitrim champions, take on the reigning provincial and All-Ireland holders, Kilkerran Clonburn of Galway, the standard bearers at the moment. They're in that semi after last weekend's dramatic 1-point win over Clonagale of Roscommon, 2-8 to 2-7. Terry McManus is part of the Glencarmanor management team.
The conditions weren't great. It was windy, it was wet, and two very good sides. And there was, look, it was only a kick of the ball between the two of us at the end. And I suppose we were kind of lucky in ways to get out of it because they missed a good bit, but we also missed a good bit. But look, we're a tough, hardy outfit. So we fought to the bitter end, and I'm very happy to get over the line with a 1-point win after a 2-hour drive over. It's a long drive on their home pitch. It's not easy, and we done it. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And obviously, I think the first half was one of you were certainly on the back foot because Clonagale were out playing you in a lot of the play, and they were leading and certainly were out playing you. I think they led by 4-2, and you really struggled. You didn't get too much into their half for the first 20 minutes of the game.
No, well, we were trying to contain them, PJ, and really for all of the first half because the wind was strong, you know what I mean, and they had the advantage of it. And we were trying to get to half time in a comfortable position that we weren't too far behind. And actually, we ended up going in level at half time with a few good scores coming up to half time. So we were level at half time. So we were in a good position at half time. But you know yourself, wind will never win a game for you. You have to grind down and do the hard work in the second half. And we done it. We dug deep and we got a bit of a lead on them. But in fairness to them, they pulled it back. And it was looking as if it was going to go away from us, but we got the winning point there near the end, and it's a great feeling.
Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling. Obviously, the penalty that Murden Devaney won after the 45 taken by Albert Clancy before half-time, that was a big turning point to get you in at level at half-time.
Oh, yes, because scores were hard, got really, in the first half. So a goal is very valuable. And in fairness to Murden, when she got her opportunity, she put it home. So it was a good goal, yeah, and we needed it, so, yeah.
That's right. And then the second half was a battle royal. You did go up 4 points, but then it came, Rosie Lennon got a goal to bring it down to a 1-point game, and then she levelled it. So it was a battle right to the finish, and then Alva Clancy managed to put over the winning point.
Yeah, Alva's winning point was a tremendous point because they put fierce pressure on her all game, and she kept going, and she came up trumps in the end, and it was a great point to get. So, yeah, look at PJ. They're a good side. You mean they've won 3 of the last 4 Roscommon titles, so they're a good side, and yeah, we're just happy to be able to live with them. Yeah,
and they definitely are a very good side, and I'd say a disappointed side at the moment if you're talking to them. But however, you're in a Connacht semi-final. You have the All-Ireland champions Clonburn, Kilkerran Clonburn, and they're a fairly good side too.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose in fairness to them, they're a step ahead of practically every team in Ireland for a number of years now. So we have the opportunity to play them again next Saturday, I think, at 1 o'clock. And at the moment, I think it's an away game for us. But we're just delighted to get the opportunity to play them because you improve by playing against teams like Clonburn. You know, I mean, they're a super outfit. So we'll try to compete with them as best we can. But we know it's going to be tough. But look, at least we're there. We're in the position to play them. We have another day on the road next Saturday. Yeah,
so that's going to be a very important day. Obviously, you'll hope that you'll be able to contain Kilkerran Clonburn, and maybe, you never know, come out with another 1-point win. You'll be a very happy man, I would say.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams have tried it against them now, in fairness, over the last few years, and they didn't succeed. So we'll go there to do our very best and compete with them. If we can compete with them and stay with them as long as possible, you never know what can happen. But we know they're good, but we are good too.
That's right. And it's somewhat strange, really, that the game is going to be in Kilkerran Clonburn, because last year you played them in the Connacht semi-final. The game was there also. Usually it's home and away, but for some reason it seems the game at this point is fixed for Kilcairn and Clonburn.
Yeah, well, it is a bit strange because if the Clonagale girls won today, they had a home game against the Galway champions, whereas if we won today, we had an away game. It doesn't seem to make sense, but that is definitely, because I checked it with Connacht Council during the week, that's definitely what we have been told, that it's an away game for us. Now, we might get them to look at it again during the week, but at the moment, it's an away game.